Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. Ryan Finley, sports editor of the Union Tribune. I'm in Arizona. First meeting of the year between the Padres and Diamondbacks. I didn't hear quite the outrage from the fan base that the Padres hadn't played the Diamondbacks yet, as the fact that it took so long to play the Dodgers. Ryan, where would you like to start?
Well, finally, a real rivalry series coming up here, right? Padres-Diamondbacks. I'd like to talk a little bit about the Dodgers series. Three very strange games, I thought. You know, had you said to me a week ago the Padres would take one of three, but the one would be a blowout on a night when Kike Hernandez starts pitching in the sixth, I probably wouldn't have believed you. I think that there was some stuff to like and a lot to be really concerned about in that three-game series. Let's go through those two things. What jumped out at you?
The offense, the first couple nights, and even before Kike Hernandez, I mean, every starter did well against a real pitcher. Yes, of course, the kid that had to wear it for the Dodgers, 111 pitches, Matt Sauer, not a good pitcher, but I mean, whatever. Major leagues and the Padres offense looked good. They looked good the night before. So that's great. They got four hits in the last game. They continue to struggle with runners in scoring position. Yeah, I mean, Nick Pivetta went four innings. Dylan Cease went seven, shutout. That's good. Yeah, you're right. There was a lot to like and then a lot to go or some to go, okay, yeah, this team is kind of like losing the same way a lot. And and when might those losses, you know, just kind of overwhelm them? I know they're nine games above 500. They're two and a half games ahead in the wild card race. I just think there is some stuff to be concerned about.
Yeah, and you wrote about it today. And if you're listening out there and have not read Kevin's story, go to our website right now. Take a look at it. Worth your time. It's about essentially there is a growing pitching crisis. The way between injuries to the starters and overuse of the bullpen, this could be a big problem in the second half. What needs to be addressed and how do you think they plan to address it?
I don't want to Mike Schilt you, but I am going to. I agree with you. I just want to make sure that I'm clear here and that I'm being overuse of the bullpen. To me implies the manager is doing that. And I know you didn't mean that, but I want to be clear on this. He's having to use the bullpen a lot. I happen to think Mike Schilt is expertly navigating what he's having to do because the starting pitchers are not doing their job. And yet I'm going to praise Ryan Berger, Stephen Kolek, Randy Vasquez, young pitchers. And here's a quote. It's a damning quote. I think it was at the end of the story. We've got guys giving us everything they can. That is a loaded quote because, and that was from Mike Schilt, because it's like, okay, they're giving you everything they can. That's all you can ask for. Okay. But you don't have Michael King. You don't have Yu Darvish. You didn't have very much of Dylan Cease. Nick Pivetta has been your best pitcher, and you can't really complain about what he's done, but he's also having his best season, and the results aren't as good lately. Though I will say, I think two of the last three have been quality starts, like super quality starts. So the starting pitching is a problem, man. And Ryan, you saw it. Everybody saw it. 2021. The Padres were 17 games over 500 on August 10th. I know the standings, I think, say 18. That's because there was the standings reflect that they then went back and later played a makeup game, or they finished a game from Atlanta. And so the standings say it was 18, but at the time they were only 17 games above 500. 17! They finished four games below. And it had been being telegraphed for a couple months that with the starting pitcher injuries, the bullpen, by the way, was the best bullpen in the major leagues into July, was being used too much. See, I almost said it right there, overused. Used too much. And here's another problem. This bullpen is not being used as much quantity of innings, but basically every single time a guy comes into the game, it's a stressful inning. It's a higher leverage inning. The threshold for high leverage is really high. It is a medium to high leverage situation. Tie game, sixth inning or later. One run game, two run game. The game could turn at any moment. So not only these guys, they are working a lot. It's not like crazy a lot, but it's they're having there are no like, oh, five runs, okay, whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't have to worry about a guy on base. It is stressful, man. And I just, sorry, but like it is a looming potential disaster.
Yes. I felt so bad. I watched video of Jeremiah Estrada from the other night after that game. And obviously it sounds like there were some other issues at play. He was in a car accident, or family member was in a car accident. He was feeling it a little bit. And man, my head went to, they have asked so much of this guy who, you know, has, I think, was a bright spot last year, but wasn't asked to carry the load the way he has been this year. And yeah, I mean, you know, an easy one every once in a while would probably do the bullpen some good, right? Having a pitcher go seven the way Dylan Cease did the other night would be good for the bullpen. You just need more and more of that. And I don't get the impression, Kevin, and maybe you can shine some light on this, Michael King's not riding to the rescue for a while. Yu Darvish isn't coming over that hill to save this team for a while, at least. What's the latest with both of those guys?
Yeah, there is no latest with Michael King. I mean, the spigot of information now is not, it's dried up. Like, people aren't like talking, and I guess there's nothing to talk about. What we get is Mike Schilt, who's put in the position of having to be the spokesperson, kind of talking in circles about how, well, we kind of know what it is, but you know, it's really rare, and we don't know what it is. And like, okay. So you see pinched nerve, which can be a dead nerve, which can be a month, two, like, and if he comes back, there's going to have to be rehab assignment. And like, once he starts throwing, like actually throwing, then there's a buildup, there's a rehab assignment. I mean, are we talking August now? Like, would that be optimistic? Yu Darvish, okay, he could be back in a week and a half. That's possible. At this point, we got to say, okay, we'll believe it when we see it. Well, he's gonna, are you getting six innings from Yu Darvish right away? Right. I just don't think so. Are they ever going to push Yu Darvish, who they want to be around, to give them six innings in September and October? Are they going to push him, even if like he can go that long? So I think it's a real issue here. And they definitely need that from Dylan Cease. And, you know, when you talk about guys giving all they can, Ryan Bergeron, it is the best case scenario that he's going to give you five and a third. I'm not saying he can't give you seven shutouts. You say that you're going to, from your number five starter who's made two major league starts, you're going to get five and a third shutout. You go, damn right. Mm-hmm. Steven Kolek, you're going to get between five and six innings, and he's going to keep you in the game. Absolutely, you'll take it. Randy Vasquez, mm-hmm. same thing. Well, then the problem is, you know, Dylan Cease needs to go seven or eight. And so does Nick Pivetta, because your bullpen is going to be asked to go three plus those other three nights. That's just a lot.
And your path to victory, because you're not getting production from a number of guys,
yes. Yes.
Right? Your path to victory is a 2-1 tight playoff style baseball game. For all of the conversations we've had and all the things they've said the last 3 weeks about playing sort of in a playoff atmosphere, that's code for winning 2-1 or losing 3-2, right? This is not a team that, as of now, can beat a team 9-1, 11-2. Like, with the exception of that rare night, like what we saw with the Dodgers,
right?
I mean, it was crazy because it really hasn't happened much this year. To me, that is the concerning part. It's that all of a sudden you need to give your bullpen a break, let's say, or a reset, but you don't necessarily have the hitters out there who can, you know, let you throw out your long guy and have him throw three innings at the end of a blowout. It's these things sort of, they're intertwined, you know, yep. and that's what makes it so hard.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to have to get creative in some way. You really can't go to a six man bullpen when you have four really good starters, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. You don't have that. So you go to six man, I'm sorry, whatever I said, six man rotation. Because the reason I said bullpen is in my mind is, you go to the six man, guess what? Now you're going to a seven man bullpen. Like you're shortening your bullpen, which is already tired. So if you're going to a six-man rotation, you're knowing that you're going to get innings out of most of those guys. So that's not a solution. It's something they anticipated when Michael King and Yu Darvish, Michael King was healthy and Yu Darvish was coming back, but they can't do it now. Do they try to piece together with some long men, like when Brian Hoeing comes back, which could be any time? You try to do a Hoeing, Reynolds, Morgan type of game. I guess you could, but then you definitely need some length from, you know, you do it the day before Dylan Cease is going to pitch. So yeah, there's just a lot. Plus the relievers, the starters are having to go with the Padres playing 22 games in the last 23 days. They just came off 13 straight. They got 13 straight starting today. The starters for the first time this season are having to go every 5 days. So it's just a lot on the pitching staff right now.
It is. To me, this would be a good time to call up a knuckleballer, but what do I know? What's the latest with Matt Waldron and his numbers? And is he a possible solution here? And if he is, why isn't he up?
Yeah, you wonder if he might be coming up for the Dodgers series. It's like who goes down? The other guys are pitching well, and you cannot have a six-man rotation. Though maybe you can if you see what Waldron does, and if he does, if he doesn't do well, him or somebody else goes down and they call up a bullpen, and then you're starting the option train and you're trying to be very careful with that, right? Because you send a guy down, he's got to stay down for 10 days. And so you could bring up Matt Waldron. As a matter of fact, thought maybe he might come up and face the Dodgers this last time. Certainly could do it coming up here against the Dodgers. I believe he pitched Tuesday. So, he would be available to pitch very soon. And I have not asked recently about what does he look like? How's the knuckleball? Is it like it was in spring training where he's throwing strikes? Because really, they're not so much going to look at results down there from Matt Waldron. Is he doing what he was doing in spring training and throwing strikes? Because they believe that pitch plays in the zone. Does he have conviction behind the knuckleball and how he's using it? Because that's important as well. So yeah, Matt Waldron could be let's not call it a solution, but he can be a help to this team. I want to point out, that's a help. Sure, absolutely. Is it Matt Waldron, who for 16 starts last year was excellent, as much as you could ever ask for? Is it a Matt Waldron who didn't necessarily have the conviction in that knuckleball and had a 5 or 6 ERA, whatever it was? So yes, right. It could be a help, or we'll see.
Right. In El Paso stats, this is the big caveat, and I feel dumb even having said this. If El Paso statistics mattered, Luis Campusano would be hitting cleanup for the San Diego Padres. Right? Instead of never playing for the San Diego Padres. How much of a concern is right-handed bench help at this point? There have been some times in the last week where Gavin Sheets is coming up and he's not hitting lefties well, and this would be a good time to push that button, and there's no button to push.
Absolutely.
Is this something that you see them addressing going forward?
Yes, but the list is getting long. You need some starters. You need a guy that can provide something. So is that a left fielder? And then you're using position players to help out on DH when you're facing a lefty, because, I don't know that you can let Gavin Sheets grow into being an everyday player at this point. You can, when you got him up in the seventh inning of a tie game or whatever, and he's faced, they bring in a lefty, and, look, he's going to give you a good at bat, but he's 2 for his last 22 against lefties. He's batting 188 against lefties, I believe, for the season. That is about 20 points higher than his career, average against lefties. I think he had a home run off of Sale, which sort of props up everything in terms of the slugging percentage against lefties. But yeah, it is. It's a major concern. But now you're talking about left field, right-handed bench help, starter, possibly a reliever, though I think they're going to be okay in the bullpen with what they have in the minors and with Hoeing and all that, but not if they can't get the starting fix. They've got to find another starter and not just like another middling starter, but then I don't understand how they could possibly get a number three, number two starter. I don't see it with what they have to offer, unless they're saying, all right, we changed our mind. One of these top two prospects is good to go.
Right. Well, and to me, if they trade for a starter or at least start getting linked to more and more starting pitching, that may give you a window into how close they think King may be, right? I mean, it's, you know, if they're not going to say anything, we're left to read the tea leaves, right? And if they decide that they're going to go trade for a starting pitcher, maybe this tells you that Michael King's not coming back for a while, right?
Yeah, maybe, but I think they need one anyway.
Right. Okay.
I mean, are you really going to the end with an uncertainty about King, an uncertainty about Darvish, Ryan Burgert, Randy Vasquez, Stephen Kolek? Are you really trying to tell us that you are a championship contender with that? You know, I don't. So, yes, you are correct. Though, gosh, I would have made the argument if you, Darvish, wasn't coming back and Michael King was healthy. We'd be in a lot better situation, but we might not be. So I'd be very interested to see where it is that they go at the trade deadline, based on how many needs they have. And again, in context, we're saying this about a team that is 38-29 that holds the final wild card spot in the National League. We're talking about a winning team that is finding ways to win. What I'm talking about is the season's not even halfway over. That's the issue here, is that you've got to look, if you're in my job, if you're in AJ Preller's job, Mike Schilt's job, you've got to look at the fact that we're, 67 games in and there's 95 games to go. There's just potential. Look, there's potential crises around the corner for every team. But when you're talking about it being starting pitching, and those of us that were alive in 2021, you know, and older than 5 years old, and recall just how horribly that went, and how a little bit at the time, you didn't think a team with a 17 games above 500 with a wild card lead like they had was going to collapse like they did. But it was telegraphed since July. Oh man, they don't have enough starting pitching, right? They tried to get Max Scherzer, and they ended up using Vince Velasquez and Jake Arrieta, and it was just a baseball terms, it was a disaster in terms of, I want to put it in perspective, you know, disaster. We all lived through it, but it was a disaster and was the biggest reason, for whatever other issues the Padres had, it was the biggest reason that they collapsed in 2021. And I don't want to say that that's happening, but I've talked to people in the organization and they don't think I'm crazy to bring it up. Diamondbacks are 34-34. Here's the crazy thing. They are 7-3 in their last 10. Corbin Burnes, their big free agent pickup, Tommy John surgery. This was last Friday, and then Sunday they find out that that he is going to have Tommy John surgery. They lost like 3 in a row, starting with the game that he left. Now they've won 3 in a row. They just swept the Mariners. Remember, the Mariners swept the Padres. And so 34-34, people are talking about them being a seller at the deadline, and they're in it. There you are, Ryan. We're going to wrap this sucker up. But what do you know about the Diamondbacks?
I know that they don't have Corbin Burnes anymore. I figured that you've touched on that.
Yes.
This is a team that you know, I follow a little bit. It's, you know, highest of highs and lowest of lows for them this year, I think. Kind of a roller coaster ride. I mean, a little similar to the Padres in terms of the Padres were hot, and now, you know, it looks like they can't beat anybody. Yeah, anyway. No, here's what I know about the Diamondbacks at the moment. Corbin Carroll, pretty good.
19 homers.
Right. Starting pitching, man, they need some. Weird situation with some of their position players. Ketel Marte may be the most underrated player in baseball. I think he's incredible. And I'm high on their shortstop, too.
Perdomo.
Yeah.
Geraldo Perdomo.
Yeah, Gerardo Perdomo. Got a little Tony Fernandez in him, if you remember him from back in the day. I think this is a huge series, Kevin, and we've talked about this for 3 friggin' years on this podcast now. The rivalry is the Dodgers, sure. But if you want to make the playoffs, you got to fend off the other guys fighting you for wildcard spots. And that's the Diamondbacks. That might be the Giants this year. You're looking maybe at you know, somebody in the NL Central. But man, it starts with the Diamondbacks. The Padres and Diamondbacks, more often than not, are two teams fighting for one playoff spot. And we saw that come down to the last weekend a year ago. As good as the Padres were playing a year ago, remember the Diamondbacks got hot at the end and, you know, just missed the playoffs by half a game or a game. This is a huge series. I will make the argument to you that this is a bigger series than Dodgers, Padres, and San Diego because you need to beat the Diamondbacks. It's cool if you can beat the Dodgers. I think you need to beat the Diamondbacks. And I think they're vulnerable right now because of their starting pitching situation. But you know what? So Padres, we just talked about how the Padres are running out a bunch of fours and fives. So, you know, I think it's a big series.
Their bullpen is among the worst and at times has been the worst in baseball. Yep. You're right. They've got a lot of dangerous players. Eugenio Suarez has 19 homers as well. You mentioned Ketel Marte. They've got Josh Naylor. You might remember him. I got to tell you, like Ryan Nelson starting tonight, I've seen him be superb and awful against the Padres. Tomorrow night, you got Zach Gallen, who has owned the Padres, but they've also gotten home a little bit. And by the way, 12 career starts against the Padres, did not face them last year. And then Merrill Kelly in the finale, and Merrill Kelly has absolutely owned the Padres at times. This is what happens when you've got good pitchers and you face them a lot. You get to them sometimes, they get to you sometimes. Gallen and Kelly have been pretty good their last few starts. Ryan Nelson began the season as long reliever. He's in and out of the rotation. Other than the fact that I'm missing Corbin Burns, as everyone will for the next year plus, these starting pitchers look better than the starting pitchers the Dodgers threw out against the Padres. So I agree with you.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
I would say that I bet you people gasped when you said it was bigger than the Dodgers because of how people feel about the Dodgers and because that was a potential for first place. But I would then, in support of your argument, say, yeah, first place in June. And that what we're doing here is we're looking big picture. And so I would agree with you that how you play the Diamondbacks goes a long way to determining your season.
Yeah. And you know what? It's also like play good baseball. Right. I mean, at some point, doesn't matter who you're playing. By the way, they have to play four in L.A. next week. At some point, I think I would like to see slightly better baseball from the Padres. I think
if you mean hitting?
Occasional run scoring. By the way, how quickly I forget that they torched the Dodgers on in game two of their series. But
I got to say the Dodgers, I mean, the Dodgers pitching, it's like you're barely facing the Dodgers.
You just got to play better baseball.
Yeah. That is true. They do. And they'll point to that, you know, they're winning more than they're losing. And it's like, well, barely. Started out 7-0, started out 14-3 to the season. And so, you know, again, everything we talk about here, just like everything we talked about in the Hot Lava podcast, what, go back 6 years, was, oh, they're building towards something. This is not what we're looking at. Everything we talk about now is in the context of, wait, this team's competing for a championship. So here's the good and here's the bad and here's what it might mean.
Yep. And expectations change, right? Yep. 80 wins 3 years ago would have been great. 80 wins this year.
I'm sorry, you mean 6 years ago. 3 years ago, 80 wins is what they got. 82 wins. You said three, and I think that you were in a time warp.
Yes. I might be. Maybe that's the reason for the Wi-Fi spottiness here. Kevin, before we go, I'm going to put you on the spot. Good guys swing 3-0, and is Manny Machado allowed to swing 3-0 while others aren't?
Yes, he is. And I'll say this, like, I see it, right? Like, if you're going to swing 3-0, you need to hit it hard and you need to find a hole or hit it over the fence or whatever. It was a good pitch to swing at, maybe a little, I think it was a little bit on the outer third. Who am I to tell Manny Machado not to swing? Yes, I absolutely get that maybe you shouldn't have, but it was a pitch to swing at. And you had Jackson Merrill and Gavin Sheets coming up against the lefty who's been pretty good. And, you know, Jackson Merrill at least was going to have to face Banda. So, and then if he somehow got a hit against Banda, you still had Vesia. And at that point, you know, you still had Vesia in there and right. Tanner Scott as well. Correct. Still, he hadn't come in yet. So anyway, the lefties, the really good lefties to face this lineup that doesn't have any righties in it. It was a pretty tough if you were going to put yourself in that situation against the Dodgers. I'm not using that as an excuse for Manny Machado, but I don't know for sure that it wasn't in his mind. Like, I need to get a hit right here.
I think 8 of the 9 guys in that order probably get a solid take sign. The way Manny Machado swung the bat this year, you need a single or a double there. In real time, I was frustrated. It seemed like something, you know, you teach in Little League not to do. Given some time, you know what? If anybody's allowed to swing 3-0, it's probably him.
Right. We also teach in Little League to hustle to first base all the time, and it's absolutely not the right thing to do in the major leagues all the time on a routine grounder. So, yeah, I'm with you. I in real time, I was like, oh, you look at the pitch, you look at it again, you talk to some people, you look at the pitch, you go, I get it. And I am just the guy who eventually on some of these things am going to say, what am I doing telling Manny Machado? Not that, yes, I got to question Manny Machado. I got to think about it. But then there's sometimes you go, all right, if it's like I'm getting arguments both ways and I'm seeing it both ways, I'm probably going to err on the side of going, you know what? Manny Machado is a smart, really good baseball player. Thought it was the right thing to do there. Okay.
Right. The Padres' issues are not that they're not walking enough. The Padres' issues are that they're not slugging enough. And I don't think that you could have counted on bases loaded walks to get you out of this game, to win that game. You don't. I think you have to hit your way out. And I do. Anyway, Kevin, Padres Diamondbacks 3-game series starting tonight at Chase Field. I know it's your favorite place in the world to be, especially in June and July. And so enjoy it. Stay hydrated. And I'm going to go take a baseball bat to my wireless router. And hopefully when we talk Monday, there won't be so many of these issues. That'll
just turn it on and off.
Of the Hot Lava Podcast. For Kevin Acey, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.